or several years. And there's Paul wandering about in his second missionary journey in the old places where he was to go. Not knowing where to go, he tried to go to Bithynia and Mysia. Here are the group of ladies who've been praying to God, God, show us a way, direct us. And it could be that God answered the prayer of these ladies in sending Paul a vision to go over there to minister to these ladies. So the whole vision thing that he had could have been just a small part in the whole scheme of what was happening in the background that Paul had no knowledge of. And by the time Paul landed in Philippi, he was in a way the answer to these prayers that these ladies have been praying for. In 1b, in 1a, we see the vision, and it's not to be interpreted literally. In 1b, it's good to go where prayers, where we become part of the answer to prayer. I believe that in everything that God calls us to do, sometimes you prayed yourself, sometimes others prayed, sometimes unknown parties have prayed. But I believe that in everything that we do, we are somehow, if we are in the will of God, answering the prayers that have been prayed before us. We are all just one small part of the big thing that God is doing, an answered prayer somewhere. And so Paul went on to this prayer meeting that he had with these ladies. And it seems that God was with them. In verse 16, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met with us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And this girl started following Paul and us. The word us implied that Luke was with him. And cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." In verse 18, she did that for many days. She continued to follow them everywhere they went. Every time they go to the riverside, she said, "These men are..." And every morning when Paul leaves the house, said, "These men are..." And keep following them for days. And Paul didn't do anything about it. He just mind his own business. Did Paul knew that it was a demon? I'm sure he did. Why did not Paul do anything about it? Why didn't Paul do anything about it? Any suggestions? Because the glory of God need to be shown, therefore he didn't do anything about it. she was witnessing. She said, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Not a bad theory. She was persistent. I'm sure Paul knew that it was a demon. Our question is, why didn't Paul do something about it for many days? Agreed. Same answer? Okay. So here's our answer that says it's because he's just waiting until God does something, then Paul will do something.
At first it was alright, but then it got too much and he was driving him up the wall.
Paul got irritated. Alright. Any others? Let's see in the Bible the few verses that were there. Paul was irritated. In verse 18, look at verse 18. Paul greatly annoyed. So Paul was irritated, okay? So there's some credence to your irritation theory. And on the theory of Paul doing it only if the Lord show him, that's true. That could be the thing that hold him back too. So those two could be operating. He doesn't want to do something unless God tells him to. Now, isn't that different from a lot of what I call deliverance ministers who look for demons everywhere, under every chair? Right? Everywhere they go, they look for demons. And that's why they go off tangent, and it's not the way God wants it. Sometimes you could know that there are demonic activities, and you're just not called to do something about that. You just keep preaching the word, because the word of God is a power of salvation. And while demonology is another topic which we won't go into, we have taught once through before. But basically, you don't always have to command a demon for the demon to leave. There are Bible examples where through the mere preaching of the word, demons run. There are Bible examples where through the anointing of the Spirit, the demons run. So, people who teach that you have to go through this 100 lists where you say, okay, what sins do you have? Here's 100. Okay, go through them, see which one you got. Confess all of them, renounce each one of them in order to be free. This looks like a formula thing. We got our formulas all tied up. So, let me tell you, if you list 100 sins on a piece of paper, and you give it to any man on the street or any church, go to any church in the world, everyone will find something there. Out of 100. Everyone will have something to renounce. Looks like very effective ministry. No, this doesn't seem to be God's way. Paul never did that as far as deliverance is concerned, because he knew that demons are just, sideline. And if God doesn't want him to do anything about it, he will not do anything about it. But this lady kept following, and Paul was annoyed. He was irritated. Now, did Paul knew that he had the power to cast out demons? Yes, I believe so. Did Paul use it immediately? No. Just because you have the power to do it doesn't mean you go around looking to exercise the power. Because we still are led by the Spirit. Jesus' statement in John 15, verse 5 is still true. Without me, you can do nothing. And so Paul just held back those two possibilities that he bring for. One was he's irritated. The other was because he's waiting on God. I believe the waiting on God one is a very significant point. That Paul would not do anything unless the Lord told him to. So he would put up with it. But this little girl, in fact, this little girl, who was demon-possessed, begins to be a distraction, begins to do something about that, begins to annoy him. Paul says in verse 18, and I'm looking at verse 16 too. The word spirit of divination is a Greek word, python, and some interpreters have said it's a spirit of a python, snake spirit or whatever. But whatever it is, there's this girl, she was a fortune teller. And verse 18, Paul says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. And verse 19, when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city, teach custom which are not lawful for us being Romans to observe. And verse 22, the whole multitude rose up against them. The magistrates tore their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. When they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. So we have here one demon casting and the whole stream of reaction to that. See, God knew what was going to happen, I believe, and the impact of that. And God probably was holding Paul back until his proper time. I'm sure that many days before Paul cast out the demon, Paul was doing teaching. And he probably has to teach and establish these new believers who were following him around. But when Paul finally cast out the demon, persecution arose. He would have thought when this demon came out, everyone would say, wow, you know, that's power demonstrated. But God knows more than we do. Sometimes we all imagine that if only God gave us this power or that power, God do this and that, we have thousands and millions saved. How do you know? How do you know your their reaction will be that way? How do you know that it won't be the opposite reaction? In church history, there have been men and women of God who have been charged with practicing medicine without a license for praying for the sick. So how do you know that won't be the opposite reaction? How do we conclude what is the best way to win the world? Because everyone have their opinion how to win the world for Jesus. Especially when a ministry grows big, they have their methods to win the world. But none of our feeble methods count for anything. God already has one main plan that includes everything and everyone. And God has one main plan that has His perfect timing for when things are to be. We can only function that small little part that God wants us to function, and that's good enough. So here's the casting out of demons in Acts 16, and a very opposite reaction from all the people that were around. In fact, the people who persecuted Paul had some profit that they lost. They didn't want this girl to be free. They didn't want this demon to go. The very opposite reaction came. It looks like Paul's, up to that point, it looks like Paul's Macedonian vision was not coming to pass. They were sent to preach the gospel. They end up with a group of little ladies in a prayer meeting. They cast out this demon according to Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. In my name you shall cast them out. They cast out these demons, and instead of more people being saved, they got locked up in prison. Add to those things, they were beaten with stripes. They were beaten. Blood was coming forth from them. And the whole crowd turned against them. If you press the pause button, you can ask the question, what has happened to the Macedonian vision? Look, God sent them, the Holy Spirit told them to go, and you put the pause button at that point, and then you open it to some theologians or Christians and say, what has happened to the Macedonian Christians? Stop at that point. Some will come up with funny theories that say, oh, Paul was supposed to reach, look for that man. He went and looked for those ladies. Therefore, he ended up in that area. Another theory. He sent him to Macedonia. It might not be city of Philippi. Maybe he should have gone to another city somewhere. After all, most missionaries go to the jungle. Why he went to the city? We can come up with our own homebrewed theories to explain why it was not working out. Show me any place in the Bible where God has said something to someone and they do it and it immediately worked well. None. I can give you a long list. God sent Moses to free the Israelites. Let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. And beat the people more. God anointed David to be king. At first it looks positive. And then